Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the CDSL Q4 FY25 conference call hosted by HDFC Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be on listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Ladies and gentlemen, please note that CDSL does not provide specific revenue or earnings guidance. Anything said on this call which reflects CDSL's outlook for the future or which could be constituted as forward-looking statements must be reviewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Chandra from HDFC Securities. Thank you, and over to you.
Yeah, thank you, Operator. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of HDFC Securities, we welcome you all to the CDSL Quarter 4 FY25 earnings call. Today, we have with us the management team of CDSL, represented by Mr. Nehal Vora, MD and CEO, Mr. Girish Amesara, the Chief Financial Officer, and other senior leaders. We will start with a brief overview of the quarter by Mr. Nehal Vora, and then we will open up the floor for the Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
So first of all, I'd like to thank Amit and the HDFC Securities team. A very, very good afternoon and welcome to everyone. I hope each of you and your loved ones are safe and healthy. Thank you for joining us today to discuss CDSL's financial results for the final quarter and the year ending March 31st, 2025. We've posted a detailed investor presentation on our website for your reference. I'm joined by the CDSL Group's leadership team, including the CEOs of all the subsidiaries. Let me start with the industry highlights and then take you through to some of the key aspects for our performance. Financial year 25 has been a record year for CDSL, with our revenues reaching an all-time high of 1,199 crores, approximately 1,200 crores, and an annual profit of 526 crores, with a year-on-year growth of about 25% on the consolidated profits. The Indian capital markets have experienced some amount of movement, volatility in the wake of circumstances. However, despite these fluctuations, the markets had achieved a historic milestone of crossing the highest-ever market capitalization of $5.7 trillion in September 2024. The average daily turnover has surged by about 37% in FY25, reaching about 120,000 crores. This growth is reflected in the growth of Demat accounts in this year. India has added about 4.1 crore Demat accounts in the year, taking the total to about 19.24 crores as of 31st March 2025. CDSL has experienced a 32% growth in the number of Demat accounts, reaching a total of 15.29 crores and enjoying a market share of about 79%. To further enhance our offerings for investors, CDSL introduced the unified features in the investor app, MyEasy, earlier in the year. The significant update allows investors to access their information across market infrastructure institutions in one place. I'm also pleased to announce the electronic consolidated account statement has been successfully integrated in various apps also as of 1st April. CDSL also successfully executed the second edition of the CDSL Annual Symposium in February, where the theme is Reimagine CapTech and the Future of Capital Markets. We were honored to have the late ISRO Chairperson, Dr. K. Kasturirangan, as a chief guest. It was his last public event. I would like to reaffirm that CDSL's focus remains on enhancing the capital market ecosystem by enhancing efficiency, trust, and transparency. We are focusing on #Atmanirbhar Investor focused approach while striving for innovation, resulting in consistent and sustainable financial and business performance. Before I hand it over to our CFO, I'd just like to say that the growth of the Indian securities market over the past year has been extremely encouraging, and it showcases India's potential and a journey towards Viksit Bharat. The market with its ebbs and flows has shown incredible strength even in this quarter, as we owe it to a strong ecosystem who put their constant faith in us. My appreciation and gratitude to all our stakeholders, our regulators, depository participants, issuers, investors, all other market participants, market infrastructure institutions, and all employees. Thank you, and over to you, Krish.
Thank you, Mayor. Good morning and good afternoon to all of you. So I'll start speaking on consolidated numbers first. So speaking on the consolidated quarterly performance, the total income for the quarter ended March 2025 is at 256 crore as against 267 crore for the corresponding quarter of the previous year. The net profit for the quarter ended March 25 is at 100 crore as against 129 crore for the corresponding quarter of the previous year. Speaking on consolidated yearly numbers, for the year ended March 2025, the total income has increased by 32% to ₹1,199 crore as against 907 crore for the previous financial year. The consolidated net profit has increased by 25% to ₹526 crore as against 420 crore during the previous financial year. Now I will speak on standalone numbers. On standalone basis, the total income for the quarter ended March 2025 is at 205 crore, which is at a similar level compared to previous corresponding quarter of the previous year. The net profit for the quarter ended March 2025 is at 81 crore as against 97 crore for the corresponding quarter during the previous year. Speaking on standalone yearly numbers, for the year ended March 2025, the total income has increased by 33% to 985 crore as against 743 crore during the previous financial year. The net profit has also increased by 27% to 462 crore as against 363 crores during the previous financial year. Now I will request Mr. Sunil Alvarez, MD and CEO of CDSL Ventures Limited, to take us through the CVL's performance. Over to you, Sunil. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Girish. Good afternoon, everyone. So far as CVL's performance for 31st March 2025 is concerned, is there was an increase in income by 35% from 188 crores to 254 crores. The expenditure increased by 42% from 76 crores to 108 crores. And the profit for the year was increased by 28% from 86 crores to 109 crores. With this, I'll open the floor for question and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take our first question from the line of Supratim Datta from Ambit. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on the cost side. So the technology cost for FY25 in the fourth quarter was similar to what you had spent on an annual basis in FY23. So could you help us understand where is this technology spend really going towards? What proportion of this would be recurring versus what proportion of this would be one time? That would be very helpful. I understand you have talked about technology costs previously as well, but given the magnitude of increase here, some kind of granularity would be very helpful for investors. The second question would be on the KRA business. Now, recently, the SEBI chief had indicated that a centralized KYC system is being implemented and it could be in practice pretty soon. In that scenario, what is the benefit of a KRA system, or would the KRA system get subsumed within this CKYC, which gets implemented across the board, and hence, how would that impact our CDSL's pricing ability. If you could give some color on that, that also would be very helpful. And lastly, on the dividend payout, now the dividend payout ratio was around 50% versus 55-60%. Any reason for a reduction there, given you are not using that much of cash? Those were my three questions. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Supratim. First, on the technology spend, I have been saying that we are in the process of building and consolidation. It's all on all the core aspects. It's the hardware, that's the infra, the applications, the security, and the connectivity. And that's a process which we are going through to obviously bring in newer tools and techniques so that the market can really benefit from better tools and technology, speed would go up, etc. But the intent being is that we are infrastructure, market infrastructure company, and technology is one of the key building blocks. And it would need a continuous assessment of newer tools and newer techniques so that the market will benefit from that. I don't think we gave out in the public domain as to what is one-time versus a recurring expense. But we have kind of maintained a steady percentage as part of the revenue on the technology costs. And basically, the regulators' expectations also have been to ensure that the newest technology is being deployed. Whilst this is a policy nudge, but from our end, we continuously assess and improve upon our technology infrastructure on a very, very serious note. As regards the second question on KRA, it's a process which is the same interview of the SEBI chair also talks about the efficiency of the existing system. We will have to wait and watch how that really pans out because it's yet not come out. It is all work in progress. So we will see how it goes. But I'm sure that all the aspects will be taken into consideration before we move forward. And the third one on the dividend payout, I think there has been a calculation error at your end. We are about 61%, 61.3% payout. So we've continued to maintain our policy guidance on dividend payout at 60% of our operating profits. In fact, it's slightly more than that this year. Thank you.
So just, one follow-up on the technology bit. I do understand you don't give out the recurring and non-recurring, but can you give us the split of, hardware, how much of this spend would be on hardware versus application?
We don't give that because, see, there is, I'll tell you why we don't give it, Supratim, because it's a combination, it's a fusion cost. You cannot segregate what is infra versus application. There is some which is mixed cost. So it will... It would not create a right differentiation, and it is not right to even differentiate. The important thing is to ensure that the systems remain strong and the systems remain modern, whatever it takes to do that. That is been our intent, whether it is at the hardware end, network end, security end, or the application end. Whatever it takes to ensure that the intent is
good. Okay. Okay, yeah, then maybe let me ask it in this way that, where are you in this journey of modernization? Is the modernization complete or, you are 60%, 70%, where are you in this modernization journey now?
I think you can ask any company. Nobody will say they are completely there in the modernization process because it's a process of continuous change. The largest companies also are continuously changing. Techniques evolve, methodologies evolve, products evolve, and tools evolve. So I think it's in a constant state of work in progress because the intent is to ensure that the modern infrastructure is provided to our clients and to the market.
Got it. And the dividend payout ratio that you're saying, is that on the standalone or is it on the console?
Standalone.
It is on maybe standalone. It has.
Okay. Oh. Okay. Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Paresh Jain from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon, everyone. Just extending the question of the previous participant on technology. So how much of it is going towards capacity build-up and how much of it is towards efficiency build-up? So generally, the reason I am asking that is the capacity build-up spend would be probably be like a one-time spend or a spend that would get added and then probably will come again once you have reached those thresholds. So is there a spend towards capacity build-up or it's purely based or purely for, efficiency build-up?
So, Prayesh, the way I look at it is that, you know, there's a popular Hindi saying that aap phal khao, aap ped kyun gin rahe ho. This is efficiency. Whether that leads, that is due to capacity build-up, because efficiency is also a function of ensuring adequate capacity. But it's not only capacity, it's about ensuring how the application works, it's how the security works. So it's a combination of what? The intent is ensuring efficiency, intent is ensuring modern infrastructure, intent is ensuring the modern tools so that the market and the stakeholders are always subject to the newest form of technology. And it's a process of really, really evolution. If I look back at our journey also, 5 years, 6 years ago, technologies used there have completely changed as we have moved. But the market participants have not known that the change which has happened. So it's a continuous process of change which has happened to ensure that the market is subject to the newest and the most modern tools and products.
So is it fair to assume that as a percentage of revenue, this would sustain? I know you don't give forward-looking guidance, but, you know,
yeah,
for us, it becomes very important to understand whether, you know, we should model it as a percentage of revenue or how should we look at it?
So you should look at our past and then take a call. I'm sorry, I actually would not be able to give you the future because we don't do future guidance as
sure,
a policy.
Sure. The other question is on the online KYC business. Could you explain it to me how much of it is coming from DMAT accounts and how much is it coming from non-DMAT accounts? Or it's purely DMAT accounts.
See, if you really look at the KYC business, for us it is very difficult to say whether it pertains to the DMAT or say to a mutual fund account, because when an entity fetches this, he could be a, you know, broker who's also having DMAT, who's also a DP for DMAT services. So whether he's opening it for mutual fund or whether he's opening for securities, I don't know, because the investor may be taking a delivery of the mutual fund in the physical form. So it's very difficult to give you that answer.
And also, Prayesh, in addition to what Sunil answered, I think the intent is again that CVL is being built to stand on its own 2 feet. So whether it is DMAT account or non-DMAT account, the intent is it should be independent enough to stand on its 2 feet. And that is how we have really progressed. If you see the way both these, despite being a 100% subsidiary, we give it the requisite freedom, flexibility to grow, to ensure that the shareholders of CDSL are benefited by both the growth, not only of CDSL, but of CVL also.
Right. Any other adjacencies that you're looking at to kind of get into on the BFSI space where you can get more KYC revenues?
So that's again a process of future. It's all very regulation driven. And I think as the journey of India is really embarking on public infrastructure, moving to a technology base, I think the process is something which we are all basically hopeful in the future. But how much that will impact, what products, all that is all futuristic. It is all regulation driven. It is how the regulation policymakers will kind of create that framework in which it will pan out. But I think the overall theme and the trend is that more and more people are joining into this fold, and that is what we all have to hope for and pray for.
Okay. Last question on the charges for both transaction and the issuer charges. Any representation to the regulator, especially for the issuer charges, to increase the prices or anything that you can let us know?
We will. It is all again between us and the regulator. We don't generally reveal that in the public domain. But as and when a final call would be taken, that would be kind of announced to the market. So we will all have to wait till then.
Got that. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
We'll take our next question from the line of Amit Chandra from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So first question is on the, you know, is on the KYC revenue. Obviously, there has been an fall in the last two quarters, and it is because of the market slowdown and slowdown in the account charges. But you know, if you see our account numbers, it has been increasing, over the last two quarters. So in the KYC charges, if you can provide some color in terms of what has led to that steep fall, is it the fetches have come down considerably, or is it because of any other, like, you know, being in terms of discounts being given to the brokers in this, or if you can provide some like breakup of the fetch versus account opening in the online data charges?
So before I ask Sunil to answer, I think Amit, overall the market volumes, delivery volumes, growth in DMAT accounts has all seen a muted response we've seen in the fourth quarter. And I think that is kind of the overall impact on CVL also. But I'll ask Sunil to take that question now.
Yeah, so like what Nehal just said, that the number of accounts anyway has dropped, not only in the last quarter, but in the last two quarters we've seen a drop in account opening, has also with mutual fund investments and also with IPOs which have come in the last two quarters. So typically, even if the account openings would have gone up, it could be more because of some fetch records, etc. But overall, we've seen the number of records itself which are created have fallen down, as well as the number of fetch records also have fallen significantly. So that's what has led to the drop in income.
Okay. So in terms of the fall, like what I was trying to understand is it more from the fetch activity that, because as far as my understanding goes, fetch was 70-80% of the overall like revenue. So has that come down like significantly in terms of the mix?
It's more or less in line with what is the creation, you know. So in terms of percentage, it's almost the same, you could say.
Okay. And also in terms of the IPO and corporate action, obviously, you know, it is market linked and there has been a sharp fall. But still, in terms of the mix between the IPO and the corporate action revenue, you know, what explains the sharp fall? Is it only IPO or is it the combination of both? And is there any is there any component in this revenue stream which is like recurring kind of?
No, if that question is directed towards CDSL, I think we don't look at it as IPO corporate action. We look at it more as a, you know, everything as a corporate action in CDSL. So maybe Nehal would like to answer that.
Yeah, yeah. So could you repeat that very last part? I couldn't hear your last sentence.
So I was just trying to understand that the mix between the IPO and the corporate action in this piece, and what has led to the fall maybe in the last two quarters. Is it a combination of both, or any one part has gone down significantly?
So it's overall market impact. Impact is across both those teams. We don't give that different categories on the public domain. But to answer your question, it is the overall impact of the market.
Okay. And then in the annual issuer charges, obviously we don't give forward-looking guidance, but what has been the increase in terms of the number of folios in this year till March? And obviously we'll see the impact of this in like next year. And also, has there been any increase in the unlisted revenue, and what the unlisted revenue we booked for the full year in FY24?
CFO to answer that.
See, we had disclosed that in the first quarter, and throughout the four quarters, it almost remained the same. We had disclosed that 2,276 folios that we had built.
So for the revenue for unlisted for the full year, I want.
Unlisted revenue for the full year is at 35.95 crore, so almost 36 crore.
Okay. And obviously, lastly on the insurance piece, we have finally tied up with LIC. Any progress on that? If you can throw some more color on that.
So I'll ask Datesh to answer.
Yeah, hi, Datesh here. So basically, it's just the sign up which has happened. Integration work is in progress. So we are expecting that.
I'm sorry, sir, you're sounding very distant.
LIC sign up has happened between the IRs, and integration work is in progress. We are expecting LIC to provide us the resources to do the integration work there as of now.
Okay, so thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Madhukar Ladha from Nuvama Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. Just on that number that you just said, 2,276 crores, is that number correct?
Of course, yes. Right?
So, no, I'm just... I was not clear on the number. So that is the number of DMAT. That is the number of folios, which is basically number of scripts into the DMAT accounts. Like, I wanted to understand the context of that number.
See, as per SEBI circular, we have to raise the bill based on either slab basis or on the folio basis. Now, this folio, how it has to be worked out? It is an average of last full year which is held in any demat account for any company.
Understood. So, okay, got it. And then I'm not sure whether you gave the unlisted revenue number for FY25.
I just said unlisted revenue from issuer is 36 crore, around 36 crore for the full financial year.
Got it. And this quarter, we saw a little bit of jump in that number from, like, you were doing about 81 crores, but we did about 87 crores. Is there any one-time sort of processing fee, etc., in this quarter, or on an overall sort of basis, because a lot of unlisted companies have also come into DMAT in this year? So is there any one-time processing fee in the annual issuer charges that if you could share that number?
So for unlisted companies, we charge a one-time processing fee of 15,000 per company.
Okay. So what would that total number be?
To answer your question, it's again a combination of both, more companies coming on, and it's actually that more companies are coming into the field. So that continues as our journey as we.
Got it, sir. That's it from my side, and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Santosh Keshri from SKK HUF. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for taking my question. Am I audible?
Yes, we can hear you. Please go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. So hi, Leon. I have been a shareholder since 2015. and I have been really looking at the performance of the company for a long time. So I have two questions. One is about insurance repository business, where we can see that our nearest competitor is enjoying a market share of more than 40% now, and they are having additions of something like 1 crore policies with EIA accounts close to 10 million or so EIA accounts. So somehow we do not see the same kind of performance and same kind of jing in CDSL repository. And also our PowerPoint presentation about insurance repository didn't cover much of the details. It just gives a little bit of numbers. It doesn't say that what is the revenue that we are earning, how many general insurance companies we have tied up. Like last quarter, we said that we have tied up with 48 companies. This quarter, we are saying the number is reduced. So my point is that we are sort of not given extra numbers for us to assess the business, or maybe the business is not being given full attention in terms of better performance and the kind of action that we are seeing in the market. That's not seem to be happening here. So I'm concerned from the point of view of being a long-time shareholder. That's my first question.
Sure. You want to finish both questions and I can answer that?
Sir, the second question is a little longer. So let's discuss this and then we'll come to the second question.
So the first question is, Latesh Shetty is here, who is the MD of the insurance repository. But before I hand it over to him to answer, our intent is, like any infrastructure business, we spend a lot of time in ensuring that the platform, the technology, etc., becomes robust. It links up well with the relevant stakeholders. And that takes time on both sides to ensure it needs to be planned, tested, etc. And therefore, that time is taken before it, because we believe in a philosophy that once you are in it, you try to give the best product, take time in kind of planning, but once you're in it, so that the confidence and trust of the stakeholders grows. I just hand it over to Latish to take that.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Not very clear, sir.
See, if you look at the past performance, we are in this business for almost 14 years. And again, the insurance business is also, the repository business is also regulatory driven. The initial 10-12 years, we were hoping that repository as a product would be made mandatory by the respective regulator. And we still await and are hopeful that, you know, in future that guidelines may come in. But yes, since this is not a mandatory subject, we've been limiting our investments on this business. But last year, there has been a lot of changes which has happened. Apart from three revenue streams from which the business comes, we have now opened up the direct portal for the end policy holders to come and directly open their accounts. And that has seen some traction. We have not yet started the marketing, digital marketing there, but yes, the voluntary growth has started coming in. And just to give you some flavor, you mentioned briefly about the competitors as well. Just to give a context of the insurance business, it's all in public domain. Annually, the country churns out some 30 crore policies, and all the IRs put together, we have just crossed 2 crores. So 90% of the market is still up for grabs, and that's what we are strategizing on, and you'll see the positive outcomes in the time to come.
That's right, but then we haven't got an app also, something like a digital app, which can be like our competitors have already launched an app. And the thing with this kind of thing is with app and connectivity and network effect that you get by getting the new customers, and the more new customers you have, the better acceptability is there for the newer customers to come and get into our platform. So all I'm saying is that we are missing a lot of action here. Maybe something can be done, and a better details can be given in the PowerPoint presentation for the quarterly update. That would be really helpful.
Santosh, if you go into my recent website, crl.co.in, I think you haven't seen it of late. So it has been a complete revamp from what was there last year. And we have a web responsive application. So yes, you are right. We do not have a mobile app per se, but our portals are web responsive and it is visible on the mobile as well. But I take your point. So that's for us to work on.
Thank you so much. Now, my second question is about the direction that the company is going towards, Nehal. One is that, see, we do not charge anything for the demat account, and we say that we have 15 crore odd demat account. Then we have huge amount of cash in our books, 1,500 crore, for which there doesn't seem to be obvious usage, that what usage is going to be put to. And the analyst community, investor community has been talking about this in almost every call. But looks like that there is no clarity in terms of annual report or the presentation that comes out after the quarter results. Every time we get to hear that the board of directors would decide, and we do not make futuristic statements. So that we get to hear. And then we also get to hear that the extra amount of technology expenses that we have for a external infra institution, something like the technology expenses went up by almost 70% compared to the last year. And our operational metrics also have been going down. Like this year, our PBT margin is something like 58%. And last year, it was 61%. Quarter on quarter, it is even worse. So are we settling, my question is, that are we settling into some kind of happy infrastructure institution and nothing beyond? We don't want to go further beyond this. Because a lot of action is happening on the digital side, a lot of action is happening on the market side. Our associate BSE is doing so well in terms of not only share price, but in terms of the lot of regulatory forbearance they got, a lot of marketing action that's happening. The new CEO over there, he has really changed the company. The same kind of thing I'm not seeing in CDSL. So I'm not trying to express any kind of disappointment to the company. I'm just trying to express my feeling that we are lacking certain direction here. Or maybe we need more better communication. If you can clarify.
I think, Santosh, you need to see that various communications. I think it is your opinion. I don't think that's the opinion of people who I meet. And certainly not the opinion of what is in the mind of CDSL as a management and also board. We have a very specific focus. Otherwise, in the last 5 years, we would not have grown from 1.8 crore DMAT accounts to 15.5 crore. These numbers cannot just happen out of thin air. It needs a lot of planning and there is a lot of behind the scenes planning. Second is the revenue profits, if you see for the last 5 years, has gone through a significant uptick. And that can only happen when you are focused on what you want to do and how you want to do it. Third is the number of shareholders who have been there for the last 5 years, who were there, total number of shareholders who were invested in CDSL has grown by multiple times over the last 5 years. This also would not have been there if the shareholder interest and maximization principle focus was not a part of CDSL's core activity. Now, these numbers show a different picture than the conclusion which you are trying to draw. And I think you need to look at it from that perspective. Number of employees have grown in CDSL. The importance and the brand of CDSL has grown really stronger. All these are clear indicators that if there was no focus, there was no thing on how we are taking it forward, we would have continued to remain at the same levels as in 2019, which is not too far away. It is just about 5 years away. And fact that quarter on quarter, despite markets going through its ups and downs, we continue to grow in terms of number of DMAT accounts, number of people wanting to become a part of the CDSL ecosystem, clearly showcases that this is with a customer-centric focus. Otherwise, this would not have happened. So I would really like you to urge you to rethink on your conclusion, because these metrics don't show the conclusion which you are trying to draw.
Thank you, Neil. But thing is that though we are being customer-friendly, are we also being shareholder-friendly? If that is also being taken into account, it would be really helpful. I do not want to go beyond this. But
so I'm sorry.
Something I wanted to highlight.
So shareholders, if you see, you will see again metrics on shareholders, 1:1 bonus, highest dividends year on year. This year also we are the highest dividend. If you see, if you factor in the 1:1 bonus, it's 25 rupees share if you want to compare it to previous year. So it's 10 rupees 50 paise, you have to multiply it by 2 to compare it with the previous years. And it is the all-time high dividend which has been given. Despite last year we had given 19, which was a 60% profit, plus a 3-year special dividend because of 25 years. This was taking into consideration the shareholder interest. And we have beaten that also this year because it's 22 rupees, which was last year with a 3-year special dividend for 25 years. This year we're giving a 25 rupees dividend to shareholders. Had we not been shareholder-centric also, these numbers would not have come in.
Yeah, got it, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Siddharth S. from YK Money. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. My main thing as a concern would be that, you know, the Q2 of your, you know, company last year did really well. There has been a dip in terms of both YOY and QOQ quarter. You can just highlight, you know, what led to it and what the trajectory going forward would be. And like, you know, on an approximate, you know, number-wise, you know, Matt, what growth rates can we expect in CDSL's overall management as a whole?
So one is, Siddharth, we don't give future guidance, so I'll not be able to answer what is the future. It is for each shareholder to assess for themselves. But to your question on why Q2 was higher and Q3, Q4, it's because the overall market volumes have dropped, the delivery-based volumes have dropped. An important metric which one needs to look at is the delivery-based volumes on the stock exchanges, which shows the market participation, which culminates into delivery. And that's what is important from a depository standpoint. Our business is in long-term, products are that people take more and more share into delivery, and that's how we are promoting a culture of also people staying long-term in markets. And also as an infrastructure institution, it's important to understand that we are building the right building blocks so that when we saw the spurt in volumes post-COVID, during COVID and post-COVID, CDSL was able to withstand that higher volume and continue to work seamlessly. So I think that is where our focus and intent is, that under all circumstances, we have to keep on ensuring the value proposition to the markets. And when the market volume spurt, the infrastructure should be equipped to handle that excess volume. So that's where our focus is.
Got it, sir. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. So, and just the thing is, the delivery-based volume has led to the, you know, entire dip process. Do you have any idea on, you know, how going forward it might be, if you would be willing to share any, insights or, you know, any idea on that?
Siddharth, we don't give future guidance, but had I even known, you and I would not need to work any longer, because if we all can predict what the volumes are going to be, it's a cumulative thing of the entire market participation. So that is something for us to wait and watch.
Got it, sir. Thank you a lot for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Sanket Goda from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, initially few data keeping points. Can you spell out cash income, e-voting income, and pledge income in the current quarter, and also the impairment cost?
Yeah, I'll ask the CFO to answer that.
The cash statement was around 11 crore in the quarter. E-voting was around 6 crore. You also wanted the debtors provision, right?
Provision cost, impairment cost, and the pledge income.
Sure. So impairment was 88 lakhs in this quarter, and pledge income was 5.40 crore.
5.40 crores. Okay. Sir, the second question was, sir, you alluded to the point that the number of folios at the start of the year was 2276 crores. So, if you can tell me how it grew compared to the previous year. And just wanted to reconfirm the point that this 2276 crores was based on number of average folios of 24 which got reflected in 25. So given the number of IPOs were so strong in 25, is it fair to say that the number of folios surely would have gone up because of more listing and that will get more reflected in 26 as a growth in the annual issuer charges?
So Sanket, previous year what we had disclosed was it was at 19.50 crore and current year it is 22.76 crore.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so the point what I'm trying to make that given that 22.76 crores was reflected to last number of folios which naturally would have grown because of number of IPOs. So the benefit will be more reflected in the next year, sir.
Yes, possibly.
Okay. And the third thing, sir, just if I look at cash ADTO, quarter on quarter, it declined by 8% for the country, BSE, NSE put together, cash ADTO. But if I look at our transaction income, it has dipped by 17% QOQ. So there seems to be a divergence typically is not there. So just wanted to understand what led to more fall in transaction income compared to the fall in cash ADTO.
See, Sanket, when we closely monitor the delivery volumes of exchanges vis-a-vis our billable transactions, and we don't see that kind of slowdown decrease compared to what it is based on the... See, what we see is the delivery volume and the billable transaction moves hands in hand. That's what we see from the historical data that we have.
No, so the reason why I was asking this question was that, sir, have you seen any market share loss with respect to transaction income because our decline seems to be little more compared to cash ADTO, what we can see from the public information?
So we don't know the billable transactions of a competition. We only track what is there at our end. And you have to compare it with the overall volumes of the...
Yeah. Okay, got it, sir. Got it. Perfect. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Parimal Mithani from Credential Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you and good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Sir, I just wanted to know, you know, a couple of quarters back you had mentioned about account aggregator thing. Can you give a highlight on where are we and what is the progress in terms of that? And secondly, sir, in your CDSL Ventures, you do e-sign and e-KYC. Is there a further scope for expanding that services?
Could you just repeat that final part? That was not too clear.
In your CDSL Ventures, you do e-sign and e-KYC. And I think there is significant traction in both of that. If you can expand, how do you plan to go ahead?
Yeah, we don't give future guidance, but I'll ask Sunil to answer the second question. But before that, on the first question on the account aggregator, we are part of the account aggregator framework. There is something called an FIP or financial information provider. CDSL was first amongst the ecosystem, at least in the securities market, one of the first which has become a part of this FIP. And we have been continuously giving that. So that is what our role is. So wherever wherever data is requested by investor through the FIU or a financial information user, it gets routed through the account aggregator and comes to us, and we provide that information after ensuring the relevant security checks, etc. So that's what our role is. I'll ask Sunil to answer the second.
Any revenue stream from them? If you can, is there anything or is it just add-on value-added service?
Yeah, revenue as of now is not yet been there. It is in the process of getting formulated because these are really early days. But I think there is some discussion which is going on, but how much it will fructify and all, you know, that is yet to be seen.
Okay.
Yeah, on the second part, you know, with regard to the traction what you're seeing on the eSign and the eKYC business, is that so far as eKYC is concerned, the intermediary like the DPs, etc., need to be registered as a sub-carrier. Currently, you know, they are using DigiLocker for these services, but we are seeing some intermediaries who have registered recently, and once they start off in this financial year, we will see more revenues coming in from there. On the e-sign business, the way it functions is that we do not tie up with the end customer who's a participant or the broker, but there is a third party service provider who gives the entire onboarding solution to the end client, and e-sign is just a part of it. So basically, we have tied up with a couple of such third-party service providers, and we are looking at adding more such service providers. So once we add some more, definitely we'll see an increase in income out there as well.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Sanket Godha from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity again. Sir, one small clarification. You said 22.76 folios. If I multiply by 11 rupees, the revenue comes at 250 crores, but what is reported is 326 crores. So the difference between 250 crores and 326 crores is predominantly explained by what, sir?
See, Sanket, you know, you have to see the SEBI circular. We have to build the company based on folio and the capital both. And apart from, we have unlisted companies also. So everything put together is the final number which is there as an annual issuer income. What you had immediately limited, what you had asked was only the folios.
Right. Okay. Okay. So basically, where you charge the fixed fees and basically what you charge for the listed companies, which could be much higher compared to number of folios what they have, explains the difference between two numbers. Right, sir?
It's a combination of both.
Okay. Got it. Perfect, sir. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We'll take our next question from the line of Mohit Surana from HDFC AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Can you also, the way you gave 22.76 crore number for the last year, could you give the number for this year?
That would be possible only in next quarter.
Okay. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Swarnabh Mukherjee from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yes, please.
I'm sorry, Mr. Swarnabh's line is disconnected. Participants who wish to ask a question are requested to press star and one. We'll take a question from the line of Prayesh Jain from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just a bookkeeping question on the other income. What drove the sequential improvement in other income so much, and could you give us a breakdown of your investment in terms of where all the money is parked?
So other income is largely constituting of AF charges, e-voting income, e-sign income, and investment income. The investment income is largely based on investment in fixed deposits, investment in mutual fund, debt scheme, and investment in bonds. These are all based on an investment policy approved by the board.
Okay. So the large part of the jump in the other income in the quarter is mainly because from the mark-to-market. Is that a fair way to assume on the debt side?
Yes.
Got that. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Swarnabh Mukherjee from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, but can you use your handset mode, please, Swarnabh?
Yeah, is this better?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, so sir, I just wanted to understand on the IPO corporate action part. So the 25 crore we have reported this quarter, this would be mainly from corporate action, right? So I just wanted to know that this 25 odd crore number, how much would be a seasonality across the quarter? Is the second, third quarter much more heavier? If you can give some indication based on the trend seen in last 2-3 years.
Another
the IPO call protection income is largely based on the IPOs that comes in the market. So it is directly linked with the market activity in terms of the IPO that gets during the quarter. So if you ask us a seasonality, it is directly related to the market.
Yeah. And also
yes, sir, please go ahead.
I have to look at the past to see which quarter has more, but I don't think there's any specific trend in that. It depends on market.
No, right, sir. I'm just trying to understand that since in fourth quarter, since you won't give the breakup of IPO and corporate action in this fourth quarter, I think the contribution of IPO income would be quite negligible. So just to understand only the revenue from the corporate action. So this is a 25 crore number is a good number to work with. So I just wanted to understand that if I were to think about the same head only from the corporate action, second and third quarter, for example, where there was a lot of IPOs, but additionally, was there also a higher seasonality of corporate action? So the corporate action number in second and third quarter would be more than 20, significantly more than 25 crores, or would that be nearabouts?
See, again, what kind of the lots of corporate action, like share split, bonus is there. Now, there is no seasonality on that also. It depends all on each company, and I don't think that can be predicted. If somebody is willing to do the past research and come out with some findings, that's a different matter, but we don't see it that way. We see it again, our intent is that platform should be robust and stable, and so that people, whenever they want to come, they can come. It is like a road, you know, like the road has to ensure its value proposition, it has to ensure security, so that cars, as and when, whether they come in the middle of the day, middle of the night, whether they come more in January or they come more in March, that is not the focus on how a company who makes roads is going to focus. So we have a similar kind of a focus on how we
at least
structure and plan ourselves.
Yeah, right, sir. Understood. And also, sir, so if I were to think between your, the demat in your custody, so just as a, conceptual clarification, so if there is shift of folios, say, from a retail participant towards more institutional participant, then how would that impact our say annual issuer charges, if you could give some color?
So the rules are there in the public domain. Number of folios is a combination of various factors on how issuer charges are getting charged. So it is the fulfillment of those conditions. It's not only folios, it's a combination of various other factors also. So that will have to be assessed. It can give a simplistic answer as to if there is a trend, a change in trend, etc. It all depends on all those conditions to ensure what would be the impact on the issuer fees which we would receive.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nehal Vora for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
So I would sincerely like to thank all the callers for their questions and also their keen interest. Continue partnering with us as we embark on this journey of this phenomenon called India, which is growing at a great rate. Thank you so much and stay safe.
Thank you, members of the management team. On behalf of HDFC Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.